Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Miss Caitlin. And choir, you did great. That was fantastic. I appreciate that. That was some wonderful singing, as always. And I sure appreciate that. I put Brother Jake on the spot. I like doing that. And anyhow, he didn't have but two songs up here. I made him sing four. Somebody say amen. And that third one, he looked at me and I said, sing another one. He said, you pick one. I think he did pretty good. Somebody say amen. But anyhow, all right, I don't know why I keep saying say amen. We just sing the song. All right, let's take a look at Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to read 5 verses out of Philippians chapter number 4. And we'll try to be a blessing to you tonight and a help to you tonight. And then I'm going to hit the road. And so I'm riding the Harley down to Daytona tonight. So y'all be praying for me and pray for Michelle because she's going to be trying to keep up, all right? And but anyhow, we're going to get y'all out of here at an appropriate time, which is whenever we get done. All right? Praise the Lord. I'm going down there with EJ. So y'all pray for him because he's wanting a motorcycle, but his wife is like, no. And he's going down there during bike week. Somebody say, so he's probably going to be riding Harley back to Kentucky, all right? So y'all pray for him, okay? And I'm going to be doing marriage counseling and all that while I'm down there, apparently. All right, so they're flying in tonight. They're supposed to get there a little later. Anyhow, we're going to spend a few days with them. So y'all be praying for us and Brother EJ and Miss Whitney and their travels, all right? We're going to be in Philippians chapter number 4, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 4. Okay, Paul is exhorting here the church. How many of you know Philippi was in Macedonia? Matter of fact, it was one of the first churches that Paul started, was here in Philippi, and he writes to them in Philippians. Paul is in a prison, but the theme of Philippians is joy. Even though all his circumstances, as bad as they are, the entire theme and the emphasis of the entire book is joy. A matter of fact, in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice is, or some form of the word, is used 17 times in this epistle. So he is communicating to them that they rejoice, or that they have joy, all right? And so we'll start our reading in verse number 4, just to kind of get us to where we're going. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, if we were to put that in our modern English, we'd put an S on the end of always, and it'd be rejoice in the Lord always, all right? And but it has the same meaning, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. How many of you know that we're not apart from God? Everything that we do is in the sight of God. I need somebody to help me. So the Bible says, let your moderation, most of y'all thinking about drinking right now, all right? And that's not what this verse is about. That word moderation has a meaning of gentleness. And we're to be gentle with others. Matter of fact, an example of that would be John chapter number 8, when a woman caught in the act of adultery was brought at the feet of Jesus. And he handled her and the situation with moderation or gentleness. Is everybody all right? Now, let's talk about that just for a few seconds before we move on. Is that how we treat others when they have done something wrong? And so the Bible, you know, this is a command. We got to rejoice in the Lord always. And we understand that rejoicing, we necessarily can't rejoice in our circumstances. I need somebody to help me with that. Right? Many of us have been in circumstances, there ain't a whole lot of rejoicing going on. All right, but the Bible says rejoice what? In the Lord. Hold on now. No, don't get all the way. The Bible says rejoice. How can I rejoice? In the Lord. I can't rejoice in my circumstances, but I can rejoice in the Lord, and I'm supposed to rejoice in the Lord. How much? How often? Y'all said it? Always. All right? So let your moderation, though, let your gentleness be known unto a few men. She caught something. She's excited. All right? Preacher messed up. So let your moderation be known unto... Say, only half of y'all did that. Are y'all still caught? What's the problem? Let's do it again. Let your moderation be known unto
all.
Okay, now we got it. All right. So we ought to be gentle in how we deal with anybody. You agree with that? Now we're going to get back to that. We're not going to be on it right now. But anyhow, we're going to tie it all together. All right, I promise you. All right, now verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. I think I looked this up and it means to be anxious or to be troubled hereafter or something like that is how it was the definition. So that word careful there, be careful for nothing. I heard somebody say it like this. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. All right? So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 8, and we're done. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. All right? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, help me. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would, Lord, help my thoughts to get in a row right now. God, that I may, Lord, give what you've given to me, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that we can take it and apply it to our lives, Lord, and become better Christians for it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So, I entitled this saying, Living a Life of Joy. As I told you, the context or the book, the theme of it, the emphasis of it is joy and having joy. How many of you know that that's what we're supposed to? The Bible says to rejoice in the Lord. We should have joy in the Christian life. Can I get a witness? I should not go around every day of my life with the mully grubs. I should not be depressed every time I turn around. I should not have, I should not just be constantly beaten down as a Christian because I am supposed to have joy. Matter of fact, David, in his sin, you'll remember he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. As we look at this, I was thinking the thought is living a life of joy. But I recognize that that's not a constant for all of us, right? I need help. Y'all gonna have to help me. I know we ain't got it all together, and the thought ain't where you understand where we're going right now. But the idea is that you and I are to have joy, and we are to have it at all times. But there are things. I just need some help right here. There are things in our life that causes us to not have joy. All right. There's things in our life that oftentimes steals our joy. Can I get a witness? I have dealt with this. We were doing discipleship in the staff, and we were sitting there. Man, we went over one page today and sat there and discussed it for what seemed like an hour. And man, it's just good stuff. And we were talking about it, and man, it's just got my thoughts running on this thing. And I told him, I said, great, now I'm going to have to go put a sermon together on this thing for tonight. And it was. the Lord just at 10:30, I guess it was, is when we started this discussion, and I was just thinking, as I was, it was wonderful because we were all sitting there and we could all just share what was going on and how we felt and how we dealt with things. But one thing that I've noticed lately in my life is that, I get frustrated. And I didn't want to do the live feed tonight because I don't know how any of this is going to go, just to be honest with you. I was going to kind of be transparent, but I get frustrated. There's things in my life that, man, God's blessed us. If I sat up here and told you how much God blessed us and how much God has done for us, like, some of you be jealous. And I'm not lying. God has just absolutely pours his blessings on me and my family, and I praise the Lord for that. I could spend the rest of my life praising him for the things that he has done. He's just blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. Man, it is wonderful, but I still find myself getting frustrated, and it's over the dumbest things. I ain't talking about stuff that matters. I ain't talking about, why y'all, listen, I don't want you in the mindset, please do not be in the mindset that I'm talking about being frustrated with anybody. I'm talking about frustrated with things, circumstances. And before I know it, before I know it, I find a way to make it God's fault. I mean, I get going and you get so frustrated and you get on that thing and the next thing you know, well, God, why ain't you taking care of this? Does anybody else? God, why am I having to go through this? God, why? Here's one. This is one I say all the time. God, why won't you help me with this? God, it ain't like I hadn't asked for help. It ain't like I hadn't prayed and asked for help to overcome this. So, God, why won't you help me? And I get frustrated, and I sometimes take it out on him. Why won't you help me? It's not like I'm trying to fail at this thing. It's not like I'm sitting out in the morning and saying, woohoo, I'm going to go fail. Can't wait. I can't wait to get frustrated and get aggravated and do all that. Is everybody with me? Y'all don't look any less on me now. I hope y'all been through it too, or we wasting time. I'm just preaching to myself. But I have learned that it's the smallest of things that sets me off. And they don't matter. I'm trying to do something and I can't do it just like I want to do it and I get mad. I need, y'all better help me. I need somebody that's ever worked on a vehicle. And you trying, you done taking it apart and you trying to put it back together. And I don't know if y'all have the same problem I do, but my hand won't fit in the cracks and crevices of that motor when I'm trying to do things. Half the time I got to get Michelle with them little old hands in there to do something for me. But I'll sit there, come on, help me all. Y'all know, y'all can identify with this. If you can't, then there's something wrong with you. You ain't a man anyhow, you're an effeminate, all right? But we go to reaching in there, man, we get frustrated. I'm like, man, I need somebody. Is everybody all right? She jumped. Get frustrated. God, why won't you help me? I'm just trying to be a little bit where I was at and mentally. And I was telling them, I was like, I've been told all my life that I can't go to God with stuff like that. I've been told all my life it's sin to talk to God that way. But as I read the scripture, I found where David in Psalm 142, the Bible says that David poured his complaint out to the Lord. Now, if complaint means something different, then why throw that word in there? Many times David said, I cried unto the Lord. Many times David said, I prayed unto the Lord. Many times David said, I poured out my heart to the Lord or my soul to the Lord. David said that many times. So why would he say, I poured out my complaint unto the Lord? I found that was in Psalm 142, but I found in Psalm 102, the writer, we don't know who the writer is, but the heading on Psalm 102, it says when whoever the author was poured out his complaint to the Lord. And in them verses, if you'll go down and you'll read, we're not going to go to Psalm 102, but if you'll go and read them verses, he makes this statement in the middle of it all. He says, Lord, you have lifted me up and cast me down. That's just in case anybody thinks that, huh? Y'all don't believe me, do you? He said, God, you've lifted me up and you cast me down. I went red on it, and you know what it means? This was the explanation that was given. It's like a wrestler picking somebody up and throwing them down, a body slam. I need somebody to help me. Have you ever felt like God? Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. God did the DDT on you. Boom. Is everybody all right? Some of y'all don't even remember that. As I looked at this, I'm hoping I can help you. Because what I did find and what we did talk about today was the problem wasn't my circumstances. The problem was my thinking. I need somebody to help me. I'm going to say something. Y'all ever heard this term, stinking thinking? I have some stinking thinking in my life that I have to guard myself against. I want you to listen. I got three things and we'll get out of here very quickly. We must recognize stinking thinking. We must recognize it. Now listen to me. The Bible says this. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. The Bible tells us to be gentle with everyone. So if there comes a time in my life where I'm not rejoicing in the Lord, and there comes a time in my life where I'm not being gentle with others, and help me, y'all, I've got a bad case of stinking thinking. Is everybody all right? Because see, if my thinking is right, then my attitude towards others, to the Lord and towards others, will be right. If you find yourself being critical of everybody, if you find yourself every time you turn around being critical of this going, this, and this, you have, help me right here, stinking thinking. You've done allowed thinking to get in there, and it's bitterness. And it's somewhere in there, there's a root. There was a seed that was planted, and there was a root that is growing inside of you, and it comes out in your frustration. Right? How many of y'all has ever had somebody, help me right here, husbands and wives, how many of you has ever had your spouse come to you and blow up about something that was absolutely, I ain't got no other word for it, stupid? Raise your hand up. Come on, I need somebody to help me. Don't be sitting there talking about I ain't never had it. Y'all scared of your husband, scared of your wife? We've all done it. I mean, come in there and absolutely blow up on your wife or your husband because the toilet paper wasn't turned the right way. The seat was left up. Michelle told me the other day, Michelle pulled this with me. She said, you left the seat up. Well, God forbid. I don't do it often. She let me know, though. She may have fell in the toilet. I don't know. It might have been. But something so simple. And yet, in our frustration, it becomes a full-blown fight. Y'all help me, y'all. If I'm telling it wrong, y'all let me know. I'm not saying it happens all the time. I'm just saying we've all experienced it. Where you're sitting there, your wife is, I mean, just hammering you, and you're like, what? Did you get this mad over that? What is it? It's a bitterness that has built up, built up, built up, and it is coming out in frustration. So when I do that to the Lord, y'all help me now, what's happening is is that the same process is taking place with him. I'm allowing things in my life, little things, little tiny things. I'm just allowing them to build up, build up, build up. And then in my frustration, I release all of that bitterness. And how many of you know this? Come on now, because we've all said we've gone through it. How many of you know this? It's hurtful. I can't imagine how hurtful it is for him. I know how much it breaks my heart. Hear me out. But it doesn't break my heart until I'm done. Because in my frustration, I release bitterness. I am getting it all out. All right? I'm trying to get somewhere, I promise you. So we got to recognize it. How am I going to recognize it? If I'm not able to rejoice in the Lord, then I'm going to have to recognize there's a good chance I've got some stinking thinking that's robbing my joy. How about if I can't be gentle with everyone? If somebody comes up to me and I basically am rude. Y'all got to help me now. Y'all can't be quiet, all right? Because we're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of this when we handle somebody. We're all guilty. There's these people. There's certain people in your life that when they come to you, you already, it's a burning and it's a turning, and you just waiting. And if they throw a slow pitch, you're going to knock it out of the park, all right? I mean, you're waiting on them to do something. And maybe they don't. And praise the Lord, they go on and nothing's hurt. But maybe they say something and it sets you off. And then before you know it, you've done said something to hurt some feelings. All right? We got to recognize this. The thief of joy in a believer is several things. I'm going to give these and I'm going to move on. But unrepentant sin steals our joy. And it causes us to have stinking thinking. Unrepentant sin. That is the mindset of, I know what the Bible says, but. That's, I know it's a sin, but. That's a joy stealer right there. And when joy is stolen, come on, y'all help me now. When my joy is gone, then I'm not going to rejoice in the Lord, and I'm not going to be gentle with others. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, let your moderation or your gentleness be known unto all men. All right? But if I don't have joy, and if I've allowed something to steal joy in my life, those two things don't happen. I don't rejoice in the Lord. Matter of fact, that is when we have a bitter attitude, we're upset about everything, or maybe even depressed about something, and then we're not gentle with others. And we have to recognize that. If I'm not treating others the way I want to be treated, don't get quiet. I will stay here for hours. Don't treat somebody in this church worse than you'd want them to treat you. It blows my mind how we treat people in this church, leadership in this church, and anything else. What is it from? Stinking thinking. May not be unrepentant sin, but how about this? Failures. Now, you say failures, that can be two parts, but the thought that I had was, it's not unrepentant sin, but it's a failure in sin in my life. A frustration. And I act out on it. I didn't want to. I didn't set out with the mind to fail God that today. But yet I did it. And it steals joy. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm not trying to excuse myself. Man, I struggle every day. The things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I'm warring. My spirit and my flesh is warring against one another. And stinking thinking feeds my flesh. And as it feeds my flesh, it suppresses the spirit. And we're going to get to a little bit more of that in a few moments, but when I allow stinking thinking to get into my life, I start feeding my flesh, and my flesh starts suppressing the Spirit of God that lives within me. So unrepentant sin, failure. How about this one? Criticism steals your joy. I found in my life sometimes constructive criticism steals my joy. I'm thankful that most times constructive criticism only does it for a short period of time. But if you've ever experienced criticism from somebody, then you know that it's a joy stealer. Worry. Bible says, be careful for nothing. Worry, anxiousness. How many of y'all know that's a thief in the life of a Christian when it comes to joy? Doubt is a thief. Doubt in a Christian's life, there is no joy. I say it all the time. You can't lay your head down on a pillow and know where you'd spend eternity. There's no joy. That's why I say if you're not 100% sure that you're saved, then it's impossible for you to live in complete fullness of joy. And the only thing that's keeping you in the seat is pride. And if you would ever turn loose of that, you would experience joy. And then circumstances are joy killers too. I mean, the fact of the matter is that life comes at us fast and things can happen in a hurry, and before we know it. So we must recognize stinking thinking. Number two, we must release stinking thinking. So in verses 4 and 5, we've seen how we're supposed to think, and so we got to recognize when we're not. But in verse number 6 and 7, the Bible tells us that we have to release stinking thinking. Now listen to me. I hope this will help you. It says, be careful for nothing, but in, help me right here, everything. Say it. Let's do it again. But in. How many, listen to me. How many of y'all has ever had something going on in your life? We were talking about this today and all the staff had it. So if y'all don't, then y'all just ain't spiritual enough. But how many of you has ever had something that bothered you, but you wouldn't take it to God in prayer because it was too dumb? Y'all listen. I mean, you think it was something so crazy. You're like, I shouldn't think like that. And so we won't take it to God. You know what I mean? Help me. It bothered us. Maybe let's do it with somebody. So somebody comes up to us and somebody says something and it bothers us. They didn't mean nothing by it, but it bothered us. But we wouldn't say anything. And we ain't going to go to prayer. We ain't going to go in prayer because really, we ain't supposed to think like that anyhow. Is everybody all right? Y'all stay right here with me. I see eyes everywhere else. Come on, it's okay. It's all right right here. We think my problem, this thing is so small. Y'all ain't even helping me. We look at our problem and we look at Brother Kenny. And we see what Brother Kenny's going through and we say, my problem ain't nothing. Oh yeah, that's right, but here's the problem. When we don't take that problem to the Lord, then that problem gets just as big as Brother Kenny's. Maybe not physically, but spiritually it hinders us. Are you understanding what I'm saying now? We look and we actually reason ourselves out of prayer. It bothered us, but we look around and we see somebody that's going through something that's worse than what we're going through. And so we say, you know what? My little old problem ain't no problem. But your little problem is a problem. Because your little problem, it gets stuck down in there. And then that little problem gets fed a little long and along and along. And before long, y'all got to help me now. That problem comes out and it's way bigger than it ever was intended to be. Do you understand what I'm saying now? in everything by prayer. In other words, here's the thing. I had the thought, maybe I wouldn't be so frustrated if everything that bothered me I took to the Lord in prayer and dealt with. The problem is that I reason it out and try to say, I'm beyond that, I'm supposed to be beyond that, I'm supposed to be more mature than that, I'm supposed to not have these issues, and yet we just suppress it without going to God in prayer, and before long, that thing builds up and builds up just like a pressure cooker. I need somebody to help me, and if you ever pop the lid on a pressure cooker when it's under, I need some help. My cousin, I'll never forget, we were boiling peanuts in Hazelhurst, and we were doing it in a pressure cooker. And anyhow, my cousin, he big old boy, he went out there, and country cornbread fed, you know the whole thing. He goes out there, and he just going to pop the top on that doggone pressure cooker, and he ended up staying in the hospital for several days with burns all over his body. Why? Come on now, help me, y'all. Because it built up and it built up and it built up, and you pop that top, and when it finally goes off, I'm telling you, it will hurt somebody. And if you and I don't learn how to take our frustrations to the Lord, if you and I don't learn how to take the little things to the Lord, the little things become big problems. The things that we think, oh, that ain't no big deal. My mama had a saying, I told the staff today, she'd say, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. But the problem is there was so many molehills in there that there was a mountain. I let them little things build up and build up and build up and build up until, boom, it comes out. And everybody around it, when it comes out, is hurt. But it could all be avoided if I would learn to release my stinking thinking. When it gets in there, in everything, say it with me, in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer, that's just communication with God. That's all that is. Prayer is communication with God. Supplication is asking something from God. But both of those things need to be done with thanksgiving. But we're told in everything by our communication and our supplication, whatever it is, whatever is bothering you, it bothers Him. And if it's bothering me, then I need to take it to Him. But the enemy of it, the enemy of prayer is that, that's not a big deal. I should be further along. I shouldn't be struggling with this where I'm at in my walk with the Lord. I shouldn't be struggling with this. I've been a Christian for 20 years. I shouldn't be struggling with this. How many of you know there's seasons in your life where somebody could say something to you and it don't bother you, and then there's seasons in your life where somebody could say something to you and you won't take out a gun and, hey, I need to do business. Somebody say amen. We ain't going to kill them, Lord. We're just going to hurt them, maim them a little bit. We must release stinking thinking. There's an enemy of prayer, though. The enemy of prayer is, it ain't no big deal. I don't want to bother the Lord with this. But the problem is that it's bothering you and it's building up on the inside. The entirety of the prayer, the Bible says, in everything. The emphasis of prayer, in all prayer, prayer and supplication, you and I are to go to the Lord. Whether it's a frustration because God ain't giving you nothing, frustration because you have a need or you have a want. I need to help somebody help me right here. Our needs are met. It's our wants that the problems that you and I have. And then the end result of prayer. Now listen, this is good. Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what I find when I pour out my frustration to the Lord? As ugly as it may be, when I get it out, y'all want a golf illustration? One, Brother Mark, only one that plays golf in here, wants the illustration. this apply to your life differently, whatever. Go out there on the golf course. I've heard preachers say this, I put a little face on the ball and I hit it. Trust me, none of y'all's faces have been on the ball. Okay. I'm not going to ugly up one of my $5 golf balls for y'all, all right? But anyhow, I don't get frustrated. I'm telling you, don't get me wrong. There are people that I've had bitterness towards. I'm not saying that. I'm not excusing that and saying I ain't never done that. I'm just saying that's not what I battle the most. That little ball's a demon. And I am competitive. Like, if right now, I'd beat my granddaughter in a competition if we could. I need somebody to help me. Ain't going to win. Wyatt come in there today. He come in there and he likes to hit me for some reason. I don't wrestle with Wyatt. That's him and his daddy's thing. So anyhow, Wyatt comes in there and he, wham, he hits Pop-Pop. Pop-Pop hit him back, rolled him up in the floor. He looked at me like bug-eyed. I'm like, hey, buddy. He didn't hit me no more, though. He didn't cry either. He was good. All right, I didn't hurt him, Lauren. But anyhow, I did. Yeah, this ain't one-sided. You want to fight, we'll fight, but I ain't daddy. Somebody help me. I'm going to win. Get there with that golf ball, man. Get out there and get frustrated with it. Boy, and I'm telling you what. I'm talking about hole number, and this happened, I ain't lying, about hole number six, I blew a gasket, all right? I'm frustrated, man, I am so sick of this game, I'm so sick of this, I'm so sick of that. Man, I got it all out, y'all. And when I tell y'all I got it all out, I got it all out. As soon as I got it all out, you know what I thought? I'm walking up to the green, I'm like, you're such an idiot. You're such an idiot. You've allowed a stupid golf ball, stupid game. You've allowed that to just, but what it did is it brought up bitterness. That little frustration was the key to unlock bitterness that I had in me. So I'm walking up there and I'm walking up there and this is all I could think. Man, I got a family that's healthy. Got a wonderful church, a wonderful job. Don't be saying amen. Y'all just hear me out first. God's given me this and God's given me that. I'm looking at all the blessings. I'm serious. Y'all want to talk about the worst walk in the world? Sitting there after you done sat out there and poured out your complaint and frustration and everything else, and then I'm having to sit there and walk and think about all that God's done for me. I'm thinking, you sorry dog. You want to talk about repentance? Right there on the golf course, had to break down and get an altar. Somebody say amen. But hey, go to hole number seven. I done got it out. There's a peace. I pardon number seven. Pardon number eight. Pardon number nine. Pardon number 10. Pardon number 11. Birdie number 12. Pardon number 13. Pardon number 14. Pardon number 15. Had a bogey on 16, a bogey on 17. Missed a birdie putt on 18 for a par on 18. Now, I tell you all that for this reason. I was so built up, all that frustration affected everything about me. Once I released it, and repented of releasing it. There was a peace. I went about that round and it was just me and the Lord. Y'all understand? I don't want it to be a stupid illustration to you, but I'm sure you've had something like that happen in your own life. But if we allow that, if we don't release it, if we allow it to keep building up and building up and building up, is it all right to pour my frustration out to the Lord? David said he poured his complaint out to the Lord. Maybe tonight what you need to do is pour your frustration out to the Lord instead of allowing it to keep building and building and building and building. Now don't get up here and cuss him out. But if it bothers you, then it bothers him. no matter how little it may seem, no matter how insignificant it may seem, if it bothers you, it bothers him. So release it. Lastly, and I'm done, replace it. We must replace stinking thinking. Verse number 8, if you will. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Have you ever sat there and said, God, why ain't you doing this for me? Or you sat there and you thought, I mean, that thinking on whatsoever things are true. Do you know what's true? God's a constant. He's faithful. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's for me. He's not against me. Are you hearing me? The psalmist said, Lord, you picked me up and cast me down. You lifted me up and threw me down, Lord. But yet, he's a refuge. He's our strength. Stinking thinking says, God, you've been mean to me. Right thinking, true thinking says, God, you're the only one that's been there for me. David in Psalm 142, the Bible says he poured out his complaint and he says, I looked to my left and I looked to my right and no man was there. He said, but you were God. Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. God's for you. God's not against you. I'm going to go over here and help somebody. God's for you. He's not against you. There's no weapon that is formed that against you. God is for you. God loves you. There's another truth. God is love. God loves you. God demonstrated his love. He proved his love. He commendeth his love. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God loves me. God loves me. God forgives me. Man, there's a lot of things if we just think on. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Hey, some things I don't need to be thinking about that I'm thinking about. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we're supposed to do. How do I do that? I got to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 18 and 9, through 20, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen to this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did everybody catch that? I need to replace thinking, and I replace it. I be filled with the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I'll be speaking to ourselves, to myself, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Is everybody all right? So I need to be filled with the Spirit. How am I filled with the Spirit? I like this. It come in our discipleship. Colossians 3, verse 15 and 16. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Don't them two verses sound eerily similar? So being filled with the Spirit, and let the word of Christ dwell in you, has the same effect. It changes our thinking because we go, is everybody all right? I must replace thinking by renewing my mind and refilling my mind with the things of verse number 8. Renewing my mind by being, let it be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we fill it with the Holy Spirit? Them two verses, you compare them. And that's right, Brother Gary. You compare them two verses, and we're told that being filled with the Spirit, and let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. The two go hand in hand. So not only do I have to give God more to be filled with the Spirit, but I have to know God better. Is everybody all right? We got to recognize stinking thinking. Don't let it get to. If you say one ugly thing to somebody, it needs to trigger your thoughts right then. I ain't thinking right. Because I'm to have gentleness with all men. It didn't say gentleness with all the brethren. It didn't say gentleness with all the leadership of the church. It said gentleness unto all men. So if there's at any point in time that I act out on somebody, I ought to stop right then and say, hold time out, I ain't thinking right. I need to find my joy. I rejoice in the Lord. And then I am, let your moderation be known unto all men. For the Lord is at hand. God's watching. Be careful for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Why we want to do that? So the peace of God that passes all understanding. How's that verse go? It ends with be in your hearts and mind. And then I got to replace stinking thinking. What am I going to replace it with? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Is everybody all right? I don't know any of the rest of them, so I'm going to have to stop right there. So tonight, how about this? She's going to come to the piano. We're done. Come pour your complaint out to the Lord. Come pour your frustration out to the Lord. No matter how minute it may seem, if it bothered you, deal with it. If it bothered you, come deal with it. If it was, you might think, oh, this is the craziest thing. I shouldn't even think like that. Come deal with it. If it bothered you, come deal with it. Pour it out to God. In everything, by prayer. In everything, by prayer. It don't do you one bit of good to go to everybody else in the church and pour out your frustration. All that does is cause stinking thinking in them. Recognize it. Release it. Leave out of here tonight having replaced it. Go home with thoughts that are pure. Go home with thoughts that are honest and thoughts that are true. God is for me. God loves me. Quit letting the devil lie to you. Pure thoughts, just thoughts, lovely thoughts, thoughts of good report. Being filled with the Spirit, let the Word of Christ richly, or dwell in you richly. Why? So you can sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, rejoicing, making melody in your hearts. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that you helped us. God, I tried to be transparent. I'm not proud of it, but I tried to be transparent. God, I deal with things and frustrations, and Lord, I've learned that I allow them things to build up and allow it to steal my joy. And God, the things that I think I'm hiding from you, the things that I think are too small to bother you with, are the things that are causing me such frustration. God, may I learn, may our church learn, may Christians learn, that, Lord, we have an avenue. God, we have someone that's in our corner, someone that loves us, someone that cares for us. Lord, may we take everything to you in prayer. No matter how small it seems, no matter how insignificant it seems. God, may we pour out our complaints, our frustrations before they erupt on others around us and cause dissension and division, destruction. Lord, fill our minds with thoughts that are pure, thoughts that are true, thoughts that are honest, thoughts that are just, thoughts that are lovely. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we leave out of here, God, that you continue to work on us. Lord, that we may become, Lord, exactly who you want us to be. That we may glorify you in all things. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for it. Praise you in it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.